All right, welcome back. You can check out Beyond Belief, where you can join Coast to Coast AM's very own George Norrie for dynamic discussions on paranormal phenomena, conspiracies, and all things unexplained, including the East Eddy Ranch, by the way. See the world through new eyes. You get new episodes weekly. You get unlimited access to Beyond Belief, and you can watch it anywhere on your computer, iPhone, iPad. It doesn't matter. No commercials, no sponsors. Enjoy Beyond Belief ad-free. Just go to beyondbelief.com. Now, our guest tonight is James Gilliland. This is promising to be one of those classic nights on this show. But I'm going to say this. One of my classic pictures that I have, right? It's me and a group of friends. And in the background, photobombing is our guest, James Gilliland. And it's one of my prized moments in my life. And he's our guest tonight. More with James Gilliland right after this short break. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Do follow us on Twitter at JChurchRadio. I'm holding in my hands. I've got about 20, 25 great questions that have come in via Twitter. And as promised, I'll get to these in just a second. Our guest tonight is James Gilliland of the East Eddy Ranch. And James, I didn't want to throw you under the bus with the photo bomb that you did in that picture, but it is truly one of my prized moments, and I sent it to you. Do you remember when that picture was taken?
I think it was at Joshua Tree.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know I was in it.
It's funny. So funny, man. Everybody that looks at that picture, they don't see who's standing in the foreground. We don't need to mention, who's there. It doesn't matter. They go, look, check out Gilliland. it's one of my prized moments. Okay. I've got a whole bunch of questions here from Twitter, and thank you, everybody, that has posted these. But the one question that keeps coming up, and we didn't address this, where is the ranch? Where is the ranch?
Well, it's actually in Trout Lake, Washington, but we do have an Oregon address because we're right on the border, and we have our mail sent to in Oregon. But it's... if you know where Hood River, Oregon is, it's about actually about an hour east of Portland, Oregon, and it's right across the river from Hood River, Oregon. And the ranch is, it's a 70-acre ranch, and it's right at the base of Mount Adams. So we look up at Mount Adams, which is a beautiful view.
Now, so to get to the ranch, well, first off, anybody would go to the East Eddy site, eastetty.org, mm-hmm. and check that out. And anybody can certainly go up there, and you invite that. But if you were coming in from out of state, you would fly into Portland and then make it to the ranch, right?
Yeah, that would be the best way.
Okay, got you. Okay, this is from King Richard. King Richard wants to know, how does somebody elevate their vibrations, and do you actually feel these vibrations?
Oh, definitely. And especially when we do the workshops and the classes, people really feel them, and because it's not just about lip service, people, it's experiential.
Right.
So people actually experience the different beings coming in and get to see the ships and everything else. So definitely, and what I find, if you want to know the easiest path is just to focus on love and joy and bliss until you become it, get out in nature and do your meditation. But there's also process-oriented therapy that we do. It's transpersonal release sessions where a lot of our vibrations are held down because of wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions, from past experiences. And they can be in this life or they can be in other lives as well. So we do a clearing process where we clear those out, and that automatically lifts your vibration. So you have your own personal contact going on.
John wants to know, why can't mainstream media like CNN or Fox go and film these doors opening or the crafts appearing? Well, that's the $10 million question.
Yeah, well, actually they have. Fox News came up with Hannity and did a special on it. And they did get the ships and everything. They sanitized the footage,
Right.
And unfortunately, they do that every time. But ABC's been out, CBS, and everybody seems to forget about it. But and what happens is, like when they do come out, they'll do a special, and it'll air in Portland, and then it starts to go national, and then somebody comes in and steps on it.
Why is that? The mass sighting that we had last year, one of my comments as I was walking away was that, A, I wasn't going to let it go. I knew that I was going to be on Coast that week, and I was going to come on the show. I didn't care about what anybody had to say. I was going to go vocal about it. Mm-hmm. But the other comment was that, you know what, if CNN was here, right, if Fox was here tonight and witnessed this and video, it would not change their minds. And that's, is that what you're saying right now? That's what I feel.
Well, yeah, you know what, is that we've had, we had Paranormal State come out, and we told them exactly when and where the ships would appear. They had their cameras rolling, and the ships did appear exactly when and where I said they would. And they actually covered that on the show and you know, gave us credit. Chip Coffee, their psychic, was there, and totally separate from us. They brought him up and separated him. They didn't tell him where he was or anything. And he says, you know, I feel a presence here. And they go, what is it? And he said, it's them. You know, it's E.T., you know.
Right.
He goes, they're here. And he said, you know, look at 10 o'clock in the east. And I told him the exact same thing. And the ships did appear at 10 o'clock in the east. So we have redundantly, we've done this over and over. We tell people exactly where the ships will be, and they appear. And so it's like, at one point you have to admit that, you know, contact is happening, because it's been redundantly, you know, done over and over again. I did it at the International UFO Congress back in the 90s. I told them that a ship would be coming right up the river, and I told them at 11 o'clock. And I thought it was kind of hilarious, because everybody came out there, and a massive triangle ship came over, and another kind of a saucer-shaped ship came right up the river. And there's a guy named Michael Hesseman filmed it. And he was bragging about how he has the best presentation and he got the ship and everything else. You know, he didn't even refer to me telling him exactly when it'd be there. And when he went up on stage to show it, they'd totally erased it from his camera. It was no longer on his camera.
Oh, no. Well, I, to that end, Supersport wants to know, what's the closest that you have come to actual face-to-face communications with these beings flying overhead, which references back to this moment at the Congress, right? You're getting this information, you know. Yeah. So what's the closest that you have been?
Well, I've had them appear right in front of me, and I've had them at Joshua Tree. I had one appear in my room, and she was about 8 feet tall, and she was an Anunnaki, you know, a benevolent Anunnaki. But I've actually been on the ships, which is a pretty wild story, you know. But
well, I wanted to get to that. Let's go ahead and do that now. When you experience this, are you experiencing this in the physical sense, or is this an out-of-body or astral projection?
Well, one was physical, and I actually went on a ship, and there wasn't much to it, and they're pretty simple. And I went on a ship, and they had three seats in it, and all around were screens. The windows were actually screens. And they took me on a ride, and we flew around this fire tower for a while and then came back. And that was kind of interesting, because there was a guy that came on Town Hall with Jeff Giannola, and he talked about it. Him and his family were actually in the fire tower at the time, and he
saw the ship fly around the fire.
Yeah, and I go, wait a second, you know, this is, and a lot of this stuff, because they'll take you right, they actually can physically teleport you on the ship. Next thing you're there, they'll put you right back in bed, and you wouldn't even know it was a real experience. And when it happened to me, I said, that was the weirdest dream. It was too physical. It was too real. And when I saw it, you know, corroborated on Town Hall, I said, okay, this is starting to come together. I've gone out of body several times up on the ships. I've been up on some of the motherships, and those are mind-blowing, because they're Federation ships, and there's beings. There's little beings there. There's some very tall beings there. There's feline beings on these ships. There's all kinds of beings that would just blow people's minds.
Feline.
Yeah, they're humanoid felines.
Okay, I want to come back to that. You and I talked about that last week. That is very interesting. I have got so many calls, some that have been on hold for almost an hour. So let's go ahead and grab a couple of them. This is a first-time caller, Daniel, out in New Orleans, Louisiana. Daniel, you're up first on Coast. Welcome.
How you doing?
Doing good, Daniel. Say hi to James.
How you doing, Mr. James?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Doing well. This happened in the, I guess, early 90s in Manahawkin, New Jersey. I was visiting my dad. He lived on the water over there, and it was the winter time. And the first thing that happened, the the phones had gone out, and it was in the evening. And then the phones, for some reason, they came back on. And then all the power had gone off. But the power went off for, like, miles, like 22 miles. Power is out everywhere. And down the shore there, there's nobody there during the wintertime. You get very few local people. Most of the people who come down there are vacationers. But we had a few neighbors on the block. They came outside. There was all these things that were in the sky. They were all lined up, and it was weird. They were moving around real fast, and then they would just kind of like stop.
Wow, that's incredible, Daniel.
Thing, and then they were coming down. They would come down slow. About a week later, and people, we took video of this. About a week later, and this was on a Wednesday. They said it was a military maneuver. That the power had gone out. They said somebody hit a telephone pole. This was in one of the local newspapers, maybe the Asbury Park Press or something. But they said it was a military maneuver, and it was like the first Wednesday of the month, and that they saw, you know, what we saw in the sky. They said there were helicopters dropping flares.
Well, Daniel, normally at this point, I would have you ask James a question, but I'm not. I'm going to ask you a question, okay? Yes. Did it look military to you?
I've never seen nothing like it, no. But, you know, military planes fly over there. But
sure.
After this went away, a big, giant plane came. And it was circling the area, but it was quiet. I've never seen nothing like this.
Yeah, there you, Daniel. Thank you for that experience.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all.
Yeah, absolutely. Great phone call. All right, let's go. I'm just going to do this. I'm going to stay out east. I'm going to go to Barry in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Barry, you're up next on Coast.
Hello, Jimmy. We've spoken before, and I've said so. I'll say it again. You play some great bumper music, man, and don't keep it. I mean, keep it up and play some Billy Idol sometime.
Right on.
Anyway, listen, we've talked before, and this is about the Brown Mountain Lights.
Right.
If either one of them heard about it.
Of course. James and Barry, what's interesting here? For James and what I have been talking about, what I have seen, the Brown Mountain Lights remind me of these objects that I have seen. And James, do you think that this is the same thing? Do you think that the Brown Mountain Lights are connected with what's going on at Mount Adams?
Well, yeah, definitely. We see the same things. There's the area that where the door opens up, the Native Americans up there, they on the Yakima Reservation, they call it the fairy lights. And they go. They just say we don't go up there. You know, they stay away from it. But you know, we go up there because you know we figure that's what we're supposed to do, be investigating these things. But crazy things happen up there. A lot of Bigfoot sightings. You know, the lights are dancing all over the place. The doors are opening. And I had a friend of mine go up there and camp out for 2 or 3 days. And when he came back, he was not the same person. He was almost in shock, you know, and he goes, this is going to take me a long time to process, you know, what happened up there.
Okay, let's see if I can get one more call in really quickly before the break. Charles from Elgin, Texas. Wild card. You're up next on Coast.
Hey there, Jenny. This is the timing of this show is good. I don't like to do a lot of preliminaries and stuff. I don't like to take up time, you know, with all kinds of stuff about whatever it might be, all kinds of introductions. But me and my dad have both had this mission. I've been looking at your guest book, their reunion with the source and stuff, and we've always had this mission. My dad had a really uncanny power, and I did have it too before, but then my heart chakra got injured back in 1988. But we'd always been working on this project to he was able to bring people that needed to make the world a better place. He could really he could really, he would talk to, he'd be walking along and we'd just bump into, you know, diplomats or heads of state or whatever it is. He was amazing. And we're trying to do good in the world. And when I was, when my heart chakra got hurt, I was also trying to bring the male and the female, you know, energies together. I was trying to do a bunch of things all at the same time. And I was really injured. My dad his birthday's come up. He was murdered last year, this past year. And some have told me that it was an assassination. And I can kind of understand that, but it's hard for me to accept that. But the
Charles, really quick.
The point is, you know, the point is that you know, I've been trying to get people. I live out in the woods, isolated. Very hard to get in touch with anybody, or I can't. The cars don't work. We've had, you know, I had PTSD just like anybody else, I guess, when this sort of thing happens. But the thing is, people will. We had a birthday event specifically for my dad, and it wasn't just a birthday event. It was to try to get them to understand, get online with our mission here, which was to try to get people to understand, you know, to try to, that was last year. It's coming up again, March the 21st is the birthday, but I was thinking of having it on the weekend. There's no way. I can't afford it. I can't do it. You know, I was hoping people from Austin would be able to understand and could come on out here and bring their lawn chairs, bring potluck, and I could try to tell them about what, you know, we're trying to do as agents, you could say, of light, you know, as agents of the source. I was hurt, so I couldn't do it. My chakras, whatever energies were hurt. But so I couldn't do it, but with my dad, I was able to, we were both together able to do it because he has a very powerful heart energy.
Right. Charles, we're going to hit a break right here, and I don't want to interrupt you, but
yeah, no.
I want to throw this over to James. James, how does Charles fix that heart chakra?
Well, that's kind of what we do at the ranch. And, you know, we totally take care of those wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions, you know, from past experience and energy balancing and things like that. So, you know, if you could contact us at the ranch, you know, just go to privateinvitations@eseti.com or just anything on the ranch and, you know, schedule a time or an appointment. We can help them out. We can do it long distance as well. But a lot of that stuff is that, you know, they're from attacks and they're trans-dimensional attacks from reptilians or grays or astral beings or, you know, it could even be some kind of demonic energies, but that's what they do. They try to shut down the light workers, and we find a lot of light workers get hit like at three years old, at 6 years old. They have traumatic experiences.
Well, let me jump in. We'll take a break right here. Our guest tonight is James Gilliland, and as promised, this is old school Coast to Coast AM. All UFOs, your phone calls, and a great guest all night. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, and I want to thank everybody for these excellent questions on Twitter, by the way. And if you want to get a question in before the end of the show, follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. That's all you got to do, at JChurchRadio. And I'll get to it. I've got a bunch of really great stuff here. And I want to remind everybody that tomorrow is a very significant day. Tomorrow is the anniversary of the Phoenix Lights, the 20th anniversary. Can you believe it? And George's guest tomorrow night is going to be Dr. Lynn Kitai. You're not going to want to miss that. Also, on May 6th, coming up, George Norrie and friends live on stage at the Plaza del Sol Performance Hall right here in the Valley at California State University Northridge, right here in Northridge, California, a few miles away from the studios here. His guest will include Dr. Bruce Goldberg, great guest of the show, great friend, Danian Brinkley, the one and only, and of course, Whitley Strieber. Tickets and info at coasttocoastam.com and also Ticketmaster. Very simple. Unfortunately, I'll be working that night and I won't be able to attend. I'll be right here in the studio. Our guest tonight, James Gilliland, the eSETI Ranch. Now, I've got a full rack of phones in front of us. I've got more questions next. And when I come back with James, He had said at the beginning of the show, changes are happening. There are things that he needs to talk about, and we're going to do just that right after the break. Old school, Coast to Coast AM. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Coast AM on this Sunday evening, heading into Monday morning. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest tonight, James Gilliland. James, you had said in the beginning of the show that there are things that are about to go down, and you need to talk about it. And I'm going to just go direct, man. What were you referring to?
Well, there's a lot of things that are happening, and they're a byproduct of a major event. And when we were talking about the vibration continuum earlier, what's happening is the higher frequencies, the higher dimensional beings, and all those are pressing hard on the Earth right now. And so that's creating an effect. And, you know, you might even say the Trump effect is part of that. So it, you know, it's a drain the swamp. It's a drain the planet. It's not just here. It's the whole planet. The corruption, all that stuff is going to be coming up to the surface for us to look at. And it's really important to realize there's a lot of people that are marching against the establishment. But the thing is, it's actually the establishment that they're marching, that's getting them to march. You know, it's being backed by Soros and the New World Order boys and all that. The globalists are actually backing, you know, this rebellion that's going on. And people need to be aware of that and come to that awareness very quickly, because there are people, there's generals, there's levels upon levels of generals involved. The elders are involved, the Chinese elders, everybody, and they're trying to turn this thing around and, you know, bring out a system that's more friendly, it's more user-friendly, it's more abundant for the people, you know, and get rid of the corruption and everything. But, you know, it's a transdimensional war, and it's not just one dimension that they're dealing with. You've got, you know, the grays, the reptilians, the demonic type beings and things like that are doing all they can to stop this from happening. And this whole pedophile ring, that it's more of a, I think they call it pedogate, because it's now they've, I don't know how many they're up to now. They've arrested at least 900 people around this. They're saying now that we're going to lose at least one third of our politicians, and it's going to go down to the Justice Department, and even religious leaders and even part of the press are going to go down, because this ring is so dark and it's so big. And, you know, they're doing satanic worshiping and blood sacrifices and things like that. Now, people get really upset when you talk about this, and they say, well, that's not enlightenment. And enlightenment means to be in knowledge of all of it, you know, the whole spectrum and what's going down.
Right.
So the energies that are coming in are pushing all of this up for us to look at, and we need to really get behind the people that are trying to expose this, bring it out, and put an end to it.
Well, there's also, I mean, there's so many different aspects of this, mm-hmm. but then we have cattle mutilations and animal mutilations. How does that play into all of this? That's just as negative as anything else that, you know, they're living
that's
beings.
That's what I'm saying. There's low-level ETs. There's grays, reptilians, and other ones involved in some of this. And our own government is doing the cattle mutilations as well. So it's parts of our own government. And this whole deep state thing that's coming out now is part of that as well. And we're finally coming to the knowledge of something I've been talking about since the 1980s, that they're listening to everything. You know, they can listen to your iPhone, your TV now, your you know, they actually...
Your toothbrush.
Everything.
Right.
I mean, your computer, everything you email or text or phone call or... doesn't matter. Everything is stored, and that's all coming out. Finally, they're coming out with this now. And there's a lot of people that are pretty pissed off about this, even senators and things like that. So, you know, they've been spying on the very people that actually created that those organizations, you know. So, you know, there's a real serious problem within the CIA and the NSA and our own government, and it's tied in to this other energy, and it's tied into the chemtrails and everything else that's going on.
Yeah, it's all connected, isn't it?
Well, let me... Monsanto, you know.
Right, no doubt.
Stuff, the inoculations, all of that stuff is all tied together, and the more you do the research, you know, the conspiracy theories are turning out to be conspiracy facts. And I think it's funny because Trump just calls it out, you know, and then they say, oh, that's conspiracy, that's nonsense, and then all of a sudden all the facts prove he's right, you know. So, I mean, CNN and all these other news agencies attack him, you know, when he calls it out on this stuff. And then, you know, like Obama's birth certificate just appeared, you know, his brother-in-law, I guess, brought it out with his footprint and everything else on it, and he was born in Kenya, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I leave it to others to debate that stuff. Yeah. I want to ask you this, though. Do you emit, or do all of us, like, emit a certain frequency where ET knows, Bigfoot knows, interdimensional beings, do they know when we're inside or outside? Because it seems like this activity kicks up when we are outside. Is there a way that they can see what we are doing?
It's not just seeing what we're doing. They know us better than we know ourselves. And they can scan us, and they'll know exactly where we're at in consciousness and what's going on. And that ties into these other things that I'm talking about because, you know, Fox News actually put out the two ships, you know, following Trump's plane and the helicopter and things like that. Well, there's a reason why these ships are following, you know, his plane and his helicopter, because they're behind draining the swamp, you know, and getting rid of this trans-dimensional nonsense that's happening here. So there's a big... You know, there's just a big transdimensional war. It's happening on other levels, and we need to be aware of that, and we need to get really clear in our own consciousness on which side of the fence we're on and focus on, you know, the universal principles or universal law that are necessary for a healthy society and environment.
Right, basically, it's,
you know, universal peace, brother-sister love, and individual freedom and prosperity for everyone, and that's written in the heart of hearts of all of us. And we need to start applying that in our everyday lives to, you know, our leadership, our own life, our relationships, everything.
Well, speaking of that, is there, and when we talk about this exposure, disclosure, this event happening, could it be a case of mass hypnosis, some crazy false flag by the government, and could it just be another form of some crazy interdimensional infestation that we don't know about?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's part of the chemtrails. There's an infestation going on there. They'd like to turn everybody into these nice little antennas, you know, that they can use their other technologies on to, you know, they can throw you into rage or put you into comatose, you know, sedate you. They can do whatever they want with the technologies now, the psychotronics. But it's all going on, and people need to get behind the people that are bringing this out and trying to expose this and clear this up. And that's what I've been really trying to cover lately, is that, you know, it's not up to our leadership to straighten it out. It's up to us to rise to the occasion. It's the same as with the ships. It's not up to the ships to come down and fix everything and heal us and fix us. It's up to us to rise to the occasion. And, you know, we get the government we deserve. You know, if we're going to be ignorant sheep and just do what we're told and follow what the mainstream news tells us and not doing an investigation, then, you know, we deserve the outcome.
Let's go to west of the Rockies. I'm going to grab Howard up in Vancouver, Washington. Howard, you're up next. Say hi to James.
Hello, Jimmy and James.
Hello, Howard.
I would like to confirm what James has been talking about. Back in... 2003, I and a friend drove out to Trout Lake. He talked me into it. I was a bit skeptical. We wanted to see the ranch up there. We'd heard about it on our Bells program. And the guy with me was Mike, and he had been up there before. He said he had met you, so we went on up there. And when we got there, we... talked to James, mm-hmm. And I remember this was in September 15th, 2003, and I told you about a sighting that I had myself back in 1963 over Vancouver, Washington. I told you about the jets that scrambled and took off after the wave of objects that flew over Vancouver here. Mm-hmm. But... anyway, I just wanted to confirm that there are some very unusual things that that happened while we were up there. I remember James stayed out with us until about 9 o'clock, and that late in the year, there was no one else around. It was starting to get cold up at that altitude. It's a fabulous view of the mountain they have up there, by the way. It just takes your breath away. But you said that if you didn't get back inside, you'd get in trouble with your wife. So you let this be. And we stayed out there until about 12:30. And it was really getting cold out there, and the dampness was sort of settling in on us. And I said, you know, this isn't going to happen. You know, I didn't have too much faith in it. We might as well get on out of here and get home tonight. And we started packing up our stuff. And about that time, Mike pointed, you know, yells, he says, "Look at that." And I looked over towards Mount Adams. It's directly to the north there. And there was a kind of, it looked like an airliner, like a sort of an off-white, kind of an amber light, you know, moving along. Looked like it was just past the mountain. And I says, "Oh, that's just an airliner. Don't worry about it." And so I started picking up things. And he says, "Look again." And I looked back. And out of nowhere, all of these red and white lights appeared and started swarming around that airliner. And they were moving so quickly, you really couldn't count them. It was just an amazing, it's probably the most bizarre thing I've ever seen in my life. It just continued to move, you know, at the pace of that airliner toward, it was coming out of the west and moving eastward. I figured it was probably an airliner coming out of Portland, mm-hmm. and probably heading east somewhere. But he handed me a pair of binoculars, and I balanced myself on a fence post out there and just took a good hard look at it, and it's just exactly what it was. They were swarming an airliner.
Wow.
And I can't imagine what the people on that plane must have thought. I know the pilots, you know, can't report that sort of thing without, you know, losing their jobs.
Right. That's pretty incredible, Howard. And before I let you go, let me ask you something really quick. What do you think you were seeing? I mean, that's what's most important here. What is it that you think you were seeing?
Well, I know that that particular area where James's ranch is, it's right off the western edge of the Yakima Reservation. And, of course, there's probably centuries of all sorts of mystical significance there. And the mountain itself, it is so overpowering just by the sight of it, you know.
Right, it's big.
When you see it, it takes your breath away.
Right.
I think that perhaps there's some magnetic significance there, something that opens a portal or something. That's my take. That is my experience, and I just wanted to underscore what James is saying. There are something. Oh yeah, and there is one other thing I wanted to bring up. We have a local talk show host here named Clyde Lewis.
Yes, we know Clyde.
And he claims that he saw a Bigfoot while he was up there.
We're going to talk about that, Howard. Don't you worry about it, okay?
Okay.
That's one of the, and Clyde has been on my show the day after that happened and to talk about it. And I went right back to James and talked to him about it's an absolutely incredible story. So we'll talk about that after the break.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Howard. And what I wanted to ask you, James, mm-hmm. is when I hear about this, the swirling of the you know, these red lights swirling around the airliner, it sounds to me like maybe it was being protected. Right. Maybe it was being guided around Mount Adams. Maybe it was in some trouble. And maybe there was some spirit connection or UFO or ET connection there. Have you seen anything like this before?
I have, yeah. And there's been a lot of things happen up here from a lot of people that have had amazing experiences and, you know, spontaneous healings and things like that have happened, you know, where people have had contact. And, you know, a lot of people have seen Bigfoot up here. It's just, the locals up here just accept it, you know, that it's a reality. And most of the major Bigfoot research is done in Skamania, which is on the left side of the mountain. You know, we can actually see that area. I've seen three of them myself, and there's a whole family that comes through here. But we have a young one, a juvenile one, and that's the one that Clyde Lewis saw.
Mm-hmm.
And he likes to mess with people. He likes to blow people's minds. They're totally harmless. You know, they won't hurt anybody.
Yeah, Clyde said that it looked like a naked teen wolf, yeah. You know, ran right past the cabin there early in the morning and ran into the woods. And everybody's drinking coffee, I believe, caught him by surprise.
Yeah.
And then tried to chase him into the woods, to find him. But he said he looks face to face.
Yeah. It ran right up to him and skidded and stopped in the mud.
Right.
Left a footprint there, and I got pictures of the footprints. And then took off running through the orchard. And what's weird is that the path it took, there's all these branches that crossed there. And you can't go through there without hitting these branches. And that thing went right through that path and, you know, didn't upset the branches or anything else. So there's a lot of truth to their ability to kind of go interdimensional or phase in and out.
Now, what is really quick, because we're going to hit a break here in about 35 seconds. What is the connection? Is there a direct connection between ET, those sightings, the orbs, all the other activity on Mount Adams, and Bigfoot? Is there a direct connection?
There is. You know, it's all connected. And, you know, that's the sad thing is a lot of people pigeonhole this stuff is, you know, they think it's either God or the devil, or it's either an angel or a demon, or, you know, it's either Jesus or Mary, or that's it. You know, that's all they look at. And they don't realize that, you know, the universe is vast. It's multidimensional. And there's all kinds of beings just out of phase, you know, from us. We can only see a small portion of the visible light spectrum.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And so all these other things are happening right around us that we just can't see or experience. If you're tuned in, if you're very sensitive, you'll feel the presences and feel these things. And some people can clairvoyantly see them.
James, we got to take a break right here. Our guest, James Gilliland. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back.